And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
Year in review.
It's been another year, Reggie. What is it? Almost 2 years we've been doing this?
Almost two. I mean,
this was definitely our second Christmas.
Yes.
Maybe about a year and a half.
But it's, yeah, we're only at like, you know, we're 70-something episodes in.
70-something episodes in.
So
when we hit 100, we're going to have a party. But we're probably going to be the only two dudes there. So it'll be festive for sure. Reggie, how was your Christmas?
Nope. It was good, dude. You know, when you have little kids, man, it is such a cool time. They just run around, they get their gifts, they're happy as can be. It kind of makes you happy.
Yep.
You know. But yeah, it's really cool.
I don't have little kids. I have teenagers.
I know.
Yeah. It was good though. Like, I have good, my boys are good boys. They're very appreciative. And they were just hyped and appreciative to get what they got. And, you know, I just learning more and more as I go along that Christmas is more about the youth, less about moi. Although I did get a portable sauna this year.
Indeed.
Dude, that thing gets warm. Like warm.
Isn't that the whole purpose?
I know, but portable sauna? I was a little shocked. Like, I was like, well, this will probably be all right. It's great. And I was like, you're getting us fits if you're in there, boy. It's going down. And I'm a naturally sort of sweaty guy anyway. You put me in a hot box and all kinds of crazy things happen.
That's
so
not cool to think about, to be fair.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I'm not sure anybody wants to think about me sitting in a vinyl tent sweating like I'm running from the law. I don't think that's anybody's thought for a beautiful time. But that's okay. It's a thought for my beautiful time. So how's the arm, my friend?
Well, it's okay. It is much better than it was, but you know, I'm still wearing a brace every once in a while. Not as much.
Understandable.
But unfortunately, when you're like, I couldn't find really a brace that is probably the right size. This is still a little too small.
Well, you got that big man gantuan arm there, bud.
Well, I know. Like, it's about as good as I'm going to get.
Yeah. Gives you some compression.
It's definitely compressed. But yeah, I mean, it's better. I've been wearing, I have two, it came in a pack of two, right?
Yeah.
And since I'm not really bothered, the left arm's not bothered. So I've been using this one for like during the day or something. I use the other one when I'm actually going out and doing stuff.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Switch them in and out.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I've really gone easy. I have not attacked the tire at all since it's been injured, and it's only been like the smaller splitting axes I've been throwing around here and there. So I gotta start trying though to do some more stuff. Maybe
just elevate a little bit.
I'm gonna get out the mall.
There you go.
And I'll swing it a couple times tomorrow, probably see how that feels. But if I'm moving rounds around, that will not happen.
Well, swing with your non-dominant arm in the beginning.
I hate
use that. Use your dominant arm as your bracing arm.
I hate it.
I know, but
hate it.
You listen to me. You listen to me. You listen here, Bob Barker.
Oh yeah.
Remember that show, Pressure Luck? Did you not have a panic attack every time somebody was playing that game?
I don't think I
even remember. Big bucks, no whammies. Big bugs, no whammies, and then they hit the thing and the whammy comes up and you have a little heart attack. That show is probably solely responsible for most of the anxiety in my existence.
It's funny. I'm about out of wood though, Brian.
Dude, you got a lot of trees out there.
I know. But I don't want to cut down. I only want to cut down the ones that need to be cut down, like, or there's a purpose. Like, I just don't want to cut it down because I need firewood to split, you know? So I got to figure that out.
Sell that stuff, man.
Well, I have
firewood sales good right now.
I haven't. But I see, I haven't. Okay. Here's the deal about firewood. Like, it really needs to be. So they have different grades of firewood, green, I think it's like green wood, wet wood, and seasoned wood.
And you want seasoned
wood. Seasoned wood.
Yeah.
Now, wet wood is fine too, though. Wet wood really means that the tree was like really dead and you cut it down and it's mm-hmm. really not going to be, you know, it's
going to burn really fast.
It's
not going to last long.
But it's the same thing. It's, but you can still burn it and it's okay.
It would work for heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green wood, you don't want. That's the stuff that's like you cut down a live tree. It's got to sit for and dry for a long time.
Yep. That makes sense.
And of course, seasoned wood is the one that's been dead for, you know,
and you got to keep months. Green wood dry, because if you don't, it'll never
season. I mean, like, and that's the other thing. I don't have like a you know, if I was going to sell this stuff, I'd really need a place that I could keep it and dry it out and really season it well and all that stuff. And I don't. I just got it in piles in my thing. I mean, now I have like four ginormous piles by this point of oak and maple and beech that are just – they're pretty good. I mean
– man, oak is valuable right now.
Well, I have, and that's the thing too. I have some more oak to cut down. I think I have an oak tree that's on its last leg, but, and I know I can take it up to the Amish and they'll buy the oak.
Yeah.
But they'll also buy ash as well. But again, it's like, I need stuff to split, but if my arm is fine, I don't need stuff to split because I can just pound the tire.
And you can carry rounds
and stuff carry like around. That. Well, not even carry rounds. I just flip the tire and I'm good, you know, because ideally I want to be able to just smack the tire around different ways, flip it, and then do a circuit as far as that goes. And
yeah.
It's fine. I'm doing everything I need to do.
Yeah.
But until my arm is, I'm not touching flipping that damn thing. Cause I don't know. I don't know. It can't be 200 pounds. Maybe it is. I don't know.
The tire?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I'd say it's close.
Probably. It's close. I don't know. It's hard to say. And it's hard for me to say too. I mean, like if you think about it, some of these oak rounds I'm moving around. I did like a log calculator thing earlier just to see like, okay, what's a white oak? 18 inches long, 24 inches in diameter. And it was like 250 pounds is how much that it said it weighed. Or 300, I can't remember. It's 250, 300 pounds, right? And so if you're really moving and shoving things around at 250, 300 pounds, and you're trying to roll them up a hill, it's hard to say you're just going, this is flipping heavy. You
Fair
don't,
enough.
You're not Fair really, enough. You know. So if I'm doing that kind of thing, I'm not too worried about it. But anyway, yeah, that's my shtick.
All right, so... let's get down to the nitty gritty, Mr. Reginald, sir.
Well, first, okay, let me say this about year in review here, first off, right?
Yes.
I am so tired of these, of all of the flipping ads everywhere on these, on every daggone website you go to. It looks like in the movie, what was that movie?
You need to give me some context. When you,
I will.
Yeah.
The movie where the guy... Ready Player One.
Yes.
Okay.
Movie.
Remember when the guy with corporate, like, we can capture 70% of the guys, the customer's visual with ads, right? Yes. And they showed that. That's what it feels like anymore when you go to a website.
Well, it's because that's how they pay for everything.
I know. And it's so much, dude.
Well, what bothers me is the ridiculousness of the ads. Like, they're not ads for things I'm going to use. Like, I don't need a cast iron potato gun. Like, I don't know why you would advertise like professional built cast iron potato guns or whatever it is you're advertising. It's just, they're garbage advertisements. So I don't know how they're making enough money through the product to pay for the advertising.
Well, anyway, the problem I had when I was looking for stuff here, because I'm like, okay, let's go look for what are some of the top headlines of 2024, which we could probably... say some of them, and we've talked about quite a lot of them.
But I think we could pretty much hit them all.
But you know, I wanted to see what, because there's a lot at the end of the year. All these news agencies are putting out. Here's our top 2024, our
top 10 of 2024.
But yes. You can't go. I mean, like you go to these things, and it's like all these freaking ads. It's like this is pointless. I can't even read the damn thing. It's full of freaking ads.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, man, I think that's what the internet itself has become. Google is nothing but an ad machine.
Well, it's always been.
You know, but I mean, it's even worse now. Like, there's a banner ad on a banner ad with a banner ad in it. Like, I three-dimensional banner ads. I don't want to, you know, and in YouTube, unless you pay for the subscription to YouTube, it's nothing but an ad machine too. I mean, I literally look at streaming services like Hulu. Like, if you want to get the affordable version of Hulu or Netflix, it's going to come with a buttload of ads. Like,
yeah, I bought YouTube because, I mean, hell, I watch it all the time. So yeah. I did purchase the YouTube thing, but Hulu, I won't watch even because it comes with the Verizon Disney stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to watch ads and all that stuff on streaming platforms. I'm not going to do it. So I don't watch Hulu.
I got it so that we could watch documentaries because they do have some good documentaries on there. I'm a documentary dude. If you're going to ask me to watch something, I'd rather watch a documentary than anything else. I don't mind a movie, but I'm at that stage in life where I'd rather see something cool and learn about something cool.
Speaking of.
All right.
Yellowstone ended.
It did. Don't ruin it.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil anything for
still you. Still not all the way through it.
I know, but I'm not going to do any spoilers, I promise. I just would say that was a fantastic show. And it wasn't so much that I like resonated with a character or anything like that. I just thought it was so, I don't know, so real maybe and so like raw, you know?
Well, just to me, it's a portrait of, you know, American greed and family, you know, loyalty and dysfunction and, you know.
But anyway, I mean, what a cool show. All from, I mean, and Taylor Sheridan, I don't know if any of you, did you watch the Joe Rogan episode with him?
Yes, yes.
I haven't. I only caught a couple of clips and I've been meant to go back to watch it.
Well, but he, you know, I'll say this about him. Very talented guy, very interesting, but also just a little bit douchey, like a little bit like,
yeah,
cocky, you know, but I mean, if I put down in 5 years, I wrote Yellowstone, Tulsa King, and then Landman, I'd be pretty cocky too.
And Lioness.
Yeah.
1883, 1923. Yeah.
Like he's been like you think about the percentage of episodic television that this man is responsible for in the last 5 years. It's pretty massive. So yeah, you know, and he was in Yellowstone several times.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I haven't seen him in anything else. He wasn't in Tulsa King, which by the way, I just finished season two. What an amazing show.
Tulsa King is cool. I like Tulsa King. And, you know, like, I like Sylvester Stallone anyway.
I'm a big Sly Stallone
fan. You know, and honestly, one of the most terrible movies, but, like, one I still like to watch is Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is terrible. It is a flipping terrible movie.
If I'm going to sit down and watch a Sly movie, the original Rambo.
Man, I like the original Rambo. The last one was wicked.
It was. Cool,
but it was so heavy, like,
had such a heavy head.
Oh, man.
For me, the first Rambo was the most realistic, right? Like, you know, PTSD ridden Vietnam vet walks into town, gets mistreated and snaps. That was, to me, that's just the, you know, I was like, dude, what a way to start a series, right? It's kind of like watching the original Rocky. All the Rockies were good, but the original Rocky was the best.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of any other shows or movies or whatever this year. It's hard to say because I mean, there's tons of stuff that like Dune. Didn't the second Dune came out?
Yeah, I liked the first Dune, the new Dune. The second one was meh.
Well,
it wasn't bad. It just, to me, it wasn't really additive, right? Like I like a sequel when it's somewhat additive. I'll use an old one. It's kind of an old one to use, but Lethal Weapon. When Lethal Weapon 2 came out, it was conducive and additive to an already existing story. I felt like Dune 2 was a little...
Well, Dune 2 follows the book.
It does.
Okay. Now, I originally, when I went and saw Dune 2 with my wife, we had arranged this ahead of time. We bought tickets because that's how excited I was for it. We had my grandparents, my wife's mom and dad watch the girls and everything, and I was really sick.
I had the flu still, but I was not, wasn't feverish or anything, but I was determined. So me and the wife went
to really see all you anyway. Do in movie theater, sit still.
I know. So. But still, I didn't want to really go anywhere. I was still feeling really bad, but I wasn't feeling bad enough to be in bed
to not watch Dune.
And so that we went anyway. And so when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, this is not cool. It doesn't follow the books and all this kind of stuff. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is a lot better than I thought it was. Yeah. But I love the way it's shot, and I love the way the audio is.
Yeah, it's definitely got a great soundtrack.
It's just one of those where it's visually and audio, like auditorily, just like, wow, this is sonically impressive. I should say that.
It's very much, to me, cinematically was brilliant. Like the way, you know, the camera angles and the special effects were just out of this world. You know, you can tell that somebody at some level put a lot of heart into the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the other? There was a couple other things. Let me see if I got to. Anyway, music. I mean, like, again, here's another year where I'm not really paying attention to music anymore.
I'll be honest with you, man. Mm-hmm. And I've been in kind of this weird renaissance of the comeback of kind of outlaw country, yet it has more of almost an alternative vibe to it, like the Zach Bryans and the Sturgill Simpsons and the Tyler Childers and all those guys. Amazing musicians, but they're not huge, right? But they just make good music.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song by Sturgill Simpson called Turtles All the Way Down. What a great movie, or a great song. I'm sorry. There's just been a lot of that. I've been really looking at the independent music circuit and pulling a lot out of it. You know, I will say this year I saw Jelly Roll in concert. The guy's a performer. Like when he went out there, he did not have any auto tune. He went out there and laid down. He sounded good. His band was tight. I didn't know his drummer was from Louisville. And it was a great concert, very entertaining. But I've just kind of stayed away from mainstream music in general because it just doesn't, you know, like what's out there, right?
Yeah. That's why I'm just not paying attention to it anymore. Like Tom McDonald.
Yeah.
I still listen to his stuff when he comes out with stuff. I like a lot. Some of it.
There's been some good independent bands. There's a band called The Band Feel. They're a really good band, man. I'm digging their music. You know, there's a lot of good, awesome guys out there. You just got to go looking for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it used to be where, you know, if you had a decent song, you could get to the radio. Now, if you're not absolutely formulaic, you're not going to wind up on the radio.
So as far as movies go, the Beetlejuice.
I didn't care for it at all. No, wasn't great.
My kids loved Harold and the Purple Crayon.
And I haven't seen it.
It's actually a really good horror movie. They redid Crow, which was, I didn't make it 7 minutes and I shut it off because it was terrible. Alien Romulus was bad. I thought that was stupid.
I didn't think it was terrible. I just didn't feel like it was an alien movie. I felt like it was just a sci-fi movie.
And Deadpool and Wolverine. Holy cow.
Good? Yeah. At all appropriate?
I just thought it was, like, for me, it was just too much.
I liked it.
Like, it got too old. It was so old.
I got to say, but I'm a big Deadpool guy, and I liked Hugh Jackman being in it, and I liked a lot of that stuff. But from, you know, honestly, movie-wise, I mean, nothing's really blown up my skirt.
No, I mean, they had, like, the Twisters movie came out.
Dude.
That was just the retelling of the first one, which, okay. But no, I thought
the first one was better.
Yeah. Fall Guy.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah. I watched it with the, it wasn't something I would like first, like watch on my own kind of thing, but I thought, oh, maybe me and the wife were like, we did. It was fun. Yeah,
It's a fun movie.
I didn't actually see the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie I did not see that one.
It was not great.
I'm sure it wasn't. Despicable Me 4, the kids loved that one. I haven't seen Horizon, the Kevin Costner Western that came out.
I haven't either.
I really, really want to. I've heard some really good things. Let me see. Hold on. The Mad Max Furiosa was, I thought, kind of dumb. Didn't care for that one too much.
Well, the whole prequel thing. Come on, man. Furiosa wasn't that great of a character anyway.
No.
I mean, the Mad Max Fury Road, I mean, although it was decent, it was not my favorite Mad Max movie.
If was cool. I really liked If. And my girls loved If, too. It's another Ryan Reynolds kids movie, right? The Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I thought that was decent.
I actually didn't mind that one, but it was kind of hokey.
Yeah, I thought it was decent.
Now, Godzilla Minus One was like, that came out about this time last year, really. Mm-hmm. But that was amazing.
I've never been a big Godzilla guy.
Oh, dude, Godzilla.
I'm a King Kong guy, but I've never been a big Godzilla guy.
Hold on, let's see. The Beekeeper. Okay. I got to say, The Beekeeper was actually like a really cool guy movie. You know, Jason Statham is playing as usual, like, I'm going to go kick everybody's butt and all that kind of stuff. Very, very guy movie, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool. Let me see here.
You know what's weird? My favorite, there's two Jason Statham movies that are my favorite. One, of course, is Snatch. But the other one, every time I ask somebody if they've seen it, they say no, and it's called Homefront.
I have seen Homefront. I like Homefront.
That is one. It's got, and the dude from the that plays the bad guy. You don't ever really expect him to be a bad guy. He played a pretty decent bad guy. But that is actually one of my favorite Statham movies. That I will advise. I will not lie. Crank 1 and Crank Volume 2. If you're just looking for just brutal action, great movies. Not really appropriate for the family, but great movies.
Wasn't Reacher, didn't they have the second season this year?
Dude, season 3 is out. Me and my son we love Reacher, and season 3 is out.
Oh, I've watched season 3.
So we're about to watch season 3 because.
No, I haven't watched season 3.
Season 3 has only been out for like a week and a half.
Really?
Yeah, just came out.
I did not know that. Season 2 was really cool.
Season 1 and 2 were great. I can't wait to see season 3.
I got to say this about the guy though, man. I forgot his name now. We talked about him before, and I think it was even this year we talked about his, like, what he's a Christian, and he does all these things online about Christianity.
Yeah.
He gets a little of it wrong, but, you know, well, I appreciate his attempt, hey, I suppose.
Listen, bro, you're trying, right?
Anyway, while we were talking about that stuff, I thought I'd bring that up. You know, as far as, I mean, you transitioned to a different work. Job.
Yeah. And then that's opened up avenues for me. This has been a weird year for me in general. I lost my mom and I lost my grandfather this year. Both not great relationships, but, you know, for different reasons. You know, there's been turmoil this year. But one thing that I've learned about myself is, you know, it's the truth. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And he tried all he could do to make me busy. But now that life has slowed down, I've realized that there's some things I've enjoyed that I've not been participating in. Yep. One being just reading and learning and just there's lots of subjects out there that I really wanted to know more about. Like, I know it sounds silly, but here lately I've been studying about the Nephilim, right? And then, you know, I've also realized that there's parts of myself that I haven't been feeding, right? I have this new developing creative urge, and I don't know yet where that's going to take me, but I don't know if it's musical. I don't know if it's literature. I don't know if it's writing. I don't know what it is, but I have this new developing urge to really invest myself artistically in something. It's amazing when you have time to really sit and contemplate where you want to go and what you want to develop in.
Yeah.
What you can discover. And, you know, I don't do New Year's resolutions. I never really have. They're kind of hot garbage, and we can go into that one day if you want to. I can explain the whole psychology of New Year's resolutions and all the stupid stuff behind it. But I have made decisions, and you and I have been talking about this before the podcast started, and that's today. You know, one of the things is I'm no longer worried about denominations. I'm worried about being biblically sound, right? If I'm biblically sound, I feel like denominations doesn't matter. I want to work on being more present.
Yeah.
You know, I still struggle at times with being present, right? I'm much better now than I was, but I still have work to be done. And the other thing is I want to feed that part of myself that is hasn't been fed for a very long time. You know, I am going to get back to my hard fitness regimen. You know, holidays come, things stutter. I've been back in that regimen now for about 7 to 10 days and I'm really liking it. I'm feeling good. But I, you know, and I want to also be, you know, something else I want to do is find service. I feel like I need to be in service. I need to find something to serve my community. I don't want that service to be shackled by a particular church. That doesn't mean I wouldn't do service within the church, but I'm really kind of looking for an opportunity to serve veterans. That there's such an underserved portion of our society just in general. So I'm really looking for something like that to get into. So, you know, unlocked a lot this year, right? I've learned a lot about myself and about just kind of taking things as they come and growing and becoming just better and more well-rounded. How about yourself?
I mean, the biggest thing for me is just ending a 6-year academic pursuit. I mean, graduating summa cum laude from Liberty with my Bachelor of Science in Apologetics was something.
That was huge, man. That's a big, that's a big deal.
That was a lot of time invested, and you don't even, I didn't even realize how much it was really until you get done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just sitting and you're going, man, I don't have to whip out a textbook and write a discussion board post or redo research on a paper or whatever. I got really good though at the end where I could take, if I knew I had a paper due on Monday by midnight, I could start it on Saturday and like spend like 4 hours or something on Saturday doing research, and do Sunday, I could start writing it. And then by Monday after work, a couple hours, it'd be turned in. You know, I got really good at doing research papers like that.
Dude, I don't, to your credit, I don't think people realize the level of commitment that it takes to get a degree. I mean, I look at how hard my wife worked, how hard you worked. That's a level of commitment that's kind of another stratosphere, right? Because, I mean, everything's a deadline, right? Like, it's not like you're just free flowing and, you know, I'm going to do this and I'll do this another day. Well, maybe I, no, you have to be on your game and on the ball. Like, there is no, well, sort of doing it. Okay. Right?
Now I will say this, that it helps when you're a reader. That's
reader.
Right. That's probably the most critical aspect of things. If you're a very well-read person, it's not near as difficult as it is for others. Also, too, if you write at all, that also will, and I have, right? Now, granted, most of my writing that I've done at all has been work related, or writing a white paper or whatever for a technology type of thing.
What's a white paper?
It's just kind of a technical brief of something, some issue or not, or situation or something.
Technical knowledge.
Yeah. So when it came to college, though, it's a switch to a more academic type of writing, which is different. And once you figure out that, like, your style and the format they want you to put it in, it's, if you're well read and you've written a little bit, it's golden, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad I did it, to be fair. And it's interesting in 2018 when, you know, God pretty much hit me in the head with a bolt of lightning and said, you know, to do this. So I did.
Yeah.
Now, 2025, am I going to do anything with it? And the thing is, I use it all the time. I didn't realize that really until the other day when I was just thinking about, you know, what that means and stuff. But, you know, I use it all the time when I'm talking to people or doing things or whatever. And it's like, I have receipts now, you know? So it's like, if I'm in an argument, it's like, well, I'm actually got a degree in this subject. So
yeah, I am very knowledgeable. So, allow me to show you how knowledgeable I am and to take advantage of this opportunity to show what my degree has taught me.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been doing that, and I don't really want to do that on a social media platform.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think we need to get you involved somewhere, man. We need to get you. We need a ministry, Reggie. You and I. We need a ministry, and it doesn't have to be a church ministry. We just need some kind of ministry.
This is a ministry.
This is, but I mean, like, we need to get out there and amongst the people, you know, and minister in the ministry, right?
Well, and also in 2025, one of the things that I really must do is get to a church that I want to regularly attend.
Yeah.
It's not just me. It's my family, right? I mean,
yeah.
We've been going here and there for, gosh, I don't know how many years. And I really need to find a place that is going to be where I can be of service to. You know, that's another thing. What else in 2024, Brian?
Well, it was a very political year.
Oh God.
Like, yeah. A lightning.
I mean, we know that. We don't year, even,
right.
And then we talked about politics a lot.
I don't even want to get into the depth of it, but I will say that this year politically, I think I saw more political division in our country than I've ever seen, period. Like, there's just the pure distaste that people had for each other and the hatefulness. And look, man, I'll be clear. There's a lot of things that I won't budge on. I don't agree. But I'm also not going to vilify anyone or tell them that they're bad people. Or I'll tell you that I don't like what you're saying and that I don't agree with it. But I'm also going to be in positional to a conversation with you. Like I've always said, I'll never be the guy that 100% of the time says I'm always going to be right. So if there's something you've got to say, I'll listen, right? You may, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I thought I've been in the right position, Reggie, and you've said something to me and I realize I'm in a completely wrong position. You know, it happens, right? And so I hope that 2025 brings back some level of social discourse that is palatable and less filled with venom. Because I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot of people that I've spoken to, and there's a lot of people on the left, a lot of people on the right, some people who are, you know, moderates, and they're all done with it. They're all like, we're worn out. We're tired. We don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't getting us anywhere. And I really hope after last year, because there were times last year where I would have conversations with people and I would walk away and be mentally and emotionally exhausted just because I felt like I was in a fight.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been that way. We just have to figure out a way to just talk to each other. You're never going to get anywhere with hate. You're just not. You're never going to get anywhere with playing from a position of ignorance. You're just not. And that's also to say that, arguments from authority don't work really well either. Right. So, but yeah, I say 2024 was politically exhausting.
I will. So on that subject though,
yes.
I have some very key, I mean, like there's some things where I will vilify you about.
Yeah,
I will.
I don't know that I'll vilify some. That's vilifying someone is to be hateful.
No, it just means that I think that they're
I'll tell you you're wrong. I have no problem telling you you're wrong.
The view that they are espousing is evil. How about that?
Yeah. I can tell you a lot of different subjects, you know, view of, you know, I straight up tell you, allowing a child to be physically mutilated is just, there's no room for conversation in that.
I don't have any, there's nothing you're going to sway me on that one.
Regulation of, or making normal pedophilia. There's no conversation about that. I'm not even going to entertain you. If you're bringing that to the table, don't come to my table. Cause you're not going to get a response you're looking for. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening now that when you say they're right, you are willingly either participating in evil or you're so ignorant that you don't know enough to know that it's not okay. either way, you got to get that under control, right? You got to get that under control. I do live in America, and you have a right to say and believe what you want to believe. That's your right as an American. What you don't have a right to do is treat me or any other human being poorly because they disagree with you and then try to force me to bend to your will. I'm not that guy. If you're going to come in hard and fast, I'm going to be the brick wall. You're not going to like impact. But I'd also want to give that person, you know, hey, you know, no, I think what you're saying is wrong. I think what you're saying is evil. Let's talk about it. Let's tell me why you think that is. And then let me tell you why I know it isn't, you know, and we can still have a civil conversation. Right. But the problem is there just is no civility. We live in a very, I don't even want to, polarized is not a strong enough word. Like we live in a venomous society where people are just, you know, willfully follow the ignorant. And I use this as I use this, people who wanted to vote for Kamala Harris. I still have never walked into anybody and asked them, give me something that Kamala Harris did that made her worthy of being president. I have not had a single person be able to give me one thing.
I mean, look,
you know, and this has nothing to do with Democrat. If let's put it this way, if she were a Republican and Trump were the Democrat, I would have still voted for Trump. Like, it's not about party. It's about you didn't do anything. You didn't earn the position. You didn't show that you could take care of it even when you had the power. Why would I give you more?
Well,
right.
And I think this is where a lot of propaganda came flying up and was just so obvious. And yet you had a large, and this is why we had the veil conversation. Yeah. Cause it's, you have to question like how do people, and what are they seeing? And like, and even when I've tried to dive into a lot of liberal leaning stuff and like see what data they were producing or what
there was no data,
but there was like, I never could find it that justified what that belief or the things they were doing. It just never made sense.
And let me be clear. It's like social sciences. Like when I went back to school and took classes, and I took psychology and sociology classes just because I wanted to see what they were about. Aced them both, but social science doesn't explain anything. It justifies emotion. I don't consider social a science. There's no science to it. It's a lot of, well, this person's ancestors were injured in this way, and now it ripples through 10 generations of blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't. There's no proof of that. There's nothing you can show me that's quantifiable evidence that says that that's actually true.
Yeah.
That's how you feel. And you're allowed to feel your feelings. I get it, but it's not fact. Right. And that's where I think a lot of this really was the struggle was, I think this last election was America saying we're done with your feelings. Let's get into some facts.
So speaking of facts, let's look at some events that happened. And let's see.
Do it, man. Lay it out there.
March 26 was when the Baltimore Bridge, Francis Scott Key Bridge, collapsed.
Yeah,
which was a whole thing.
Yeah,
which I still think is not an accident. But
yeah,
there we go. Taylor Swift became the world's first musician to become a billionaire solely from songs and concerts, which is just a travesty in itself.
Just that makes me sad.
Let's see. I'm trying to go through these. We had a lot of AI things come out in 2024.
Yes, a lot of AI. AI really came to the forefront.
Well, yeah, it's been a lot of updates and everything. We had that the Donald Trump was found guilty of 34 felony counts of falsified business records. That whole thing that was back in May.
All of that doesn't matter now,
which is so garbage. And it really was like such a big deal, but it really wasn't. And it was totally a lawfare, which is a term that didn't come around until 2024 either. Yes. Probably. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm still looking. See, the July 13th assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Yes.
In 2024.
Then Joe Biden withdrew from the reelection campaign shortly after, because that was, let's see, July 13th was when the assassination attempt was in Pennsylvania. The first one, by the way.
Yeah.
And then to the 21st is when Joe Biden withdrew. And you're not going to get me to think that, I mean, I still don't think he was happy about doing that.
I don't think he had a choice. I think the cabal of whoever was in charge decreed it must happen. And then I'm still of the opinion that Kamala Harris's entire campaign was a setup. They knew she wasn't going to win. They knew she couldn't win. She didn't have enough time. She didn't have a good history. She wasn't capable of communicating in a proper manner.
No.
I think it was a setup so that they could, when the new presidency starts on the 20th of January, they'll have somebody to point the finger at.
Sure.
That's all that was.
Which he was elected November 5th. That's another one. So it's hard to think. So I went to Politico.com, right?
Yeah.
Earlier when we were going to do this, and I was looking for that. And I went to a couple different sites.
Yeah.
It was just garbage. And I think it was just the headlines that they were promoting as like the things and stuff were very, it's very propaganda ridden.
Well, it's
and
also,
I couldn't even stomach it, you know?
Well, you know, let's not forget that 2024 was the first year that there was a lesbian bishop installed in a Catholic church, and she decreed to pull all the crosses out and create a Muslim worshiping center inside of a Christian church. That's the first time I think I've ever seen something that ridiculous happen.
Also, we didn't mention this before, but this caught me off guard when I saw this, and we should have mentioned it before now, but when a literal banana was duct taped to a wall and it sold for $6.2 million in New York as art.
Oh my gosh.
Right? That.
Dude, I need to start doing art. You start doing art, because that, my brother, is how it works.
The new owner of the controversial art piece, a cryptocurrency enthusiast, held an event in Hong Kong on December 2nd where he ate the banana.
He ate a $6.2 million banana.
Yep. Isn't that something? There
Here's we go. My question. How long between the time that he purchased the banana and ate the banana?
You're talking November 21st to December 2nd.
That's a long time to just let a banana sit.
I don't know, man.
I mean, if you look at the banana, it's already turned a little.
I don't know. But yeah, that's what happened. But he ate a $6.2 million. President Biden pardoned his son Hunter for any crime committed over the previous 10 years. The Hawk coin thing that went on that we talked about.
Coin, yeah, which she still hasn't surfaced. I'm telling you, she's on the run. She knows she's in trouble. She knows. I think she knew it was garbage. She took the money and ran.
Toby Keith, Maggie Smith, Carl Weathers, they died in 2024.
Jimmy Carter died.
Jimmy Carter just died. That's right. That was a big headline. January 9th is the day of remembrance or mourning or whatever they're doing.
You know, one thing that's very interesting about Jimmy Carter, he was a terrible president, but he actually turned out to be a pretty good human being.
I mean, I never paid any attention to Carter.
He was very big into charity and fundraising, and he actually turned out to be a pretty decent dude after he stopped being president. While he was president, he was a train wreck. But, you know, when he got out of the office, and he was a very philanthropic and very giving man, and I got to give him credit where credit's due. So,
yeah, I mean, I know he did a lot. He had a couple of foundations and stuff that he was definitely doing. If we look at our videos, let's see, we go all the way back to
our videos. What all did we cover this year?
I mean, so we talked about luck and predestination. Yeah. We said luck, you know, luck was pretty much stupid not kind of a heretical thing for a Christian to do, because it's
Christians aren't lucky.
No, we talked about Instagram whores.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We sure did. That was great. Instagram hookers. Yes, we sure did. That was awful.
You tried a cigar.
I did, and I now am a fan.
You are. We talked about cults. and
we did. That was actually one of my favorite episodes we did this year, because that's I still am studying and fascinated by that cult mindset and the charisma of those people and how they get it. It just astonishes me how you can get like these people who, you know, like I'm Bo and he's Peep and cut off your wiener and go to Mars. Let's what? Yeah, wait, what? All right, let's do it. Give me a robe and shave my head and castrate me and let's go to Mars. No, dude, whack jobs. Anyway,
we talked about the Tucker Carlson Vladimir Putin interview.
We did, and I thought that was
amazing. By the way,
it was a very good interview.
Still very cool. We talked a lot about church.
We did.
Media biases.
We did.
JFK. Or not JFK.
RFK.
RFK.
You know, I got to say, that's one of those things that I don't understand is, you know, RFK is not out here trying to spread like disinformation. He's literally trying to save our lives. Let the man work, right? He's trying to make the Food and Drug Administration and the big pharma industry toe the line. Give the man some love. He's trying to make your life better, you know?
Mark Driscoll, the John Lindell thing.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Russell Brand, when he
got converted,
baptized and all that stuff. That was really cool.
That was awesome.
We talked about man friends.
Man friends.
Yeah, male friendship and how that's like
a
thing.
Yeah, that is.
Hold on, I'm just going through these. Mental health, men's mental health.
Yep.
We talked about that because we were very adamant about that being the same time as Pride Month and how ridiculous that was.
Yes, that was. Yeah.
Robert Morris scandal, which was gag.
Yeah.
Project 2025.
Gag. I gotta say that was great. Robert Morris scandal gag.
We talked about grief.
Yeah, I thought grief was a good episode.
The Olympic opening ceremony that was atrocious.
What a terrible, terrible thing.
Oh man, the Ecologies of Faith. We did that whole thing the last little thing for school.
That was good.
We did our intercontinental food tasting.
I know. Actually, intercontinental dessert tasting.
Oh.
India lost.
Except for the sweet donut one.
Yeah. The rest donut, of it. No. Dude, you had that one thing we bit into. It looked like they took like a plant from the house and wrapped it in something in the middle and soaked it in sugar. It was gross.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth.
We talked about the Bible translations and denominations. Yeah, we talked about how we're all connected, which goes back to the Ecologies of Faith thing.
Talked about CTMU.
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
We talked a little bit about immigration. We talked about crying.
Yeah. When's the right time to cry if you're a dude?
Yep. We had Robbie was a special guest when you were out. Robbie,
I enjoyed that. And look, I got to apologize. I gave Robbie grief, but actually Robbie did very well. I'm sorry. I watched the episode and I enjoyed it. I think you and Robbie, even as brothers, interact very well together. So I was very entertained by that episode. Robbie did a great job.
We definitely bashed veganism and
boy, did we! And, I still and, do, man.
Oh God,
it's such a money grab. That's all veganism is just a giant money grab. The whole natural versus it's just a money grab.
We talked about community, sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a full year, man. A lot about the election and political stuff. We roped that in a lot of places, but
I mean, I felt like if there was ever a year to talk about it, it was 2024.
You know, and I would agree with you. The thing about politics is that it is so divisive right now.
Yeah,
and it's not that you'll ever get to a point where belief systems don't collide, because that's obviously
the nature of us as people, right?
But you know,
I think that if we start turning the page to moving away from that cataclysmic ideals of societal death that mm-hmm. have rampaged through history, which is what happens, we start encouraging the male to be more man and less boy. We start encouraging families and not just individuals. We get down that path, we'll be good. But you know, the thing is, I mean, you still got to look at, you know, the time frames of things, and you know, looking at biblical ideas of there is an end to all of this eventually, right?
And there is an end game, right?
You know, like, I mean,
it is there.
Yeah. So I mean, and we've had a lot of that this year too, because whenever mm-hmm. there's a lot of political stuff and there's like a lot of worry about, you know, the government and everything else, everybody gets in this end of times kind of stuff, which we'll approach at one point or another. It's just like, I don't like to dig into that when everybody else is, because it just seems like you're jumping on a train.
Well, it's really simple. Okay. So there's a lot of things that have to happen before end times begins. One of them is the 1,000 years of peace. We haven't had 1,000 years of peace.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though, too. The timelines get a little murky.
I mean, you know? I got a feeling that if we had 1,000 years of no wars, of peace, we would know it, right? Like, that would be a pretty obvious,
yeah.
You know, because, I mean, name a decade that there hasn't been a military conflict in.
Right.
I'm talking
about now. I mean, there's not, you know. But we'll see.
I mean, there's still a military conflict right now. Ukraine and Russia are still going at each other, right? So I really think, you know, and it's funny. I spoke to one of my brothers, Tripp, who is a minister, and he said the same thing. He goes, everybody's got to stop talking about this. He's like, all of you people that are stuck in this end time cycle where you think the end is coming, he's like, you're fools, because you're losing sight of what we should be doing.
Yeah,
by hunkering down and waiting for this nuclear bomb to hit that we all think is coming. You know, I really feel like we got to just let that go. Like it's not relevant to what we need to be doing right now in the sense of what the task is in front of us.
I wouldn't use the word relevant. I would say that it's interesting and it's worthy of like paying attention to.
Well, yeah, preach about it, but don't.
I mean, but don't hang your hat on like that, right? I guess that's where I'm at with it.
Well, for a great example was the church that we were attending at one time. I mean, at the time, my 15-year-old son came home. Dad, he goes, I don't want to go back to church. And I was like, what's wrong? And he goes, every time I go to Sunday school, all they talk about is how the end is near. He goes, it scares me. It makes me nervous. And it makes me not want to be there. And they just wouldn't relent. Like it was,
yeah.
And he just literally stopped going to church. He's like, if there's no joy in church, why do I want to go?
Because right? Even in the end times, there's joy.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes home.
Yeah. Like, isn't that the end game, right? To go home. Right. But you know, I would say what would you like to see happen in the coming year, Reggie? What would you like to see occur in the coming year in a general kind of overview?
Well, for one, we're going to have guests.
Oh, so sweet. I'm so excited. I can't tell you how excited I am that we're going to have guests on this show and that we're going to have to be able to have live, real discussions with people who agree with us, that don't agree with us. That to me is just ecstatic. I'm giddy like a little school
kid. It's going to be cool. We got a few already that are on the list.
Yeah.
And we're working on more.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one thing I'm really looking forward to. The other thing is that, I guess 2025, I'm talking about what since we spent a lot of time on it. Politically speaking, I'm not hanging my hat on anything. I just want to make this clear.
No.
Very much skeptical of everything.
I'm gonna choose hope. That's what I'm gonna choose.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think if you make any positive benefit or positive effect on anything right now, I mean, like, reducing my tax burden is something that's really, really high on my list.
Yeah.
I paid more taxes in the
bring my grocery bill down.
Well, what
cash flow.
Yeah.
Increase my cash flow, yep. right?
Make it easier for me to be secure.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, here's the thing: I'm not a wealthy, independently wealthy person.
Nor am I.
I do well, and my family is provided for. But with my tax burden of for 2023 was the highest I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And for 2024, I made less money this year than I have in a long time.
Yeah.
Because of the economy, the bonuses and all that kind of stuff didn't happen like they normally would. So I'm looking at 2025 to hopefully start turning that to a different direction. Right. Yeah,
for sure.
And, really that's overarching stuff. And again, looking at churches, I mean, I still want to get a group of guys together on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And, start having actual weekly men gathering together to just have coffee or whatever.
Yeah, just talk.
And yeah. And stuff like that. I'm still looking for this. This show for me is my outlet for, saying what I want to say publicly. So as long as I keep doing this, I won't feel so bottled up, which is great. And I want to continue to do that. But I want to start getting into a little more depth of things. So what I mean by that is when you mentioned Nephilim earlier, even in your text message or whatever, which is great. But there's a whole lot to that subject.
Yeah, as I'm studying, it's very broad.
So definitely want to take some time for that.
Yeah.
Some other things too. Like I want to dive into Revelation at some point. Speaking of end times and all that stuff. But you know, those things take a lot of effort because they're not just, it's not like you can just go and read a book or this or that. There's like a ton of different avenues and aspects to all these different things that really take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And if you're a busy guy working full time, have a family,
yeah,
that gets a little tough. So which those
we both are right.
So those are things that are going to be long, you know, longer things. But also too, I think, R&B Talks is going to be doing this year. We will be doing like some public, things.
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to end up getting, because I do want to go to like Lanesville Heritage and yeah. have a booth and stuff yeah. and like some of the other festivals that are yeah, around.
Absolutely.
That would be wicked cool, but I don't know if we'll be able to do that this year or not because they go really fast.
Yeah.
But that's something we're looking that I want to do, just to be there and, you know, do things. It depends on the growth of the channel this year, Brian, but, I would like to eventually get some merch.
Yeah. Just but depends.
Also too, I mean, this is our logo and it's fine for right now, but like, that's just something I threw together from a template that I bought.
Yeah.
Right. And I would really like to get something created that's unique to us this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just one thing.
Yeah.
So all of that really.
I'd really like to see us affect outside the studio a little bit, right? I definitely feel like that's an important thing. I feel like the guest thing is an important thing. I'd also like to, you know, start figuring out ways to maybe bring our community into this, right? Like, how do we bring our community into the actual podcast itself, right? Like, that's – I feel like that's very important, you know. as far as what I would like to see in 2025 outside of this podcast, I would just like to see a return to American ingenuity and values. That's really what I'd like to see. Anything else – every time that we return to American ingenuity and values – monetarily, we as a country prosper, we as a people prosper, right? We just need to get back to taking care of our country and taking care of our citizens and taking care of our military, right? Really honoring the men and women who have protected us at the cost of their own physical abilities and lives, right? So I think there's just a lot that I'd like to see happen, but I agree with everything you said, Reggie. I believe that everything you said is important. I believe that everything you said is something we should get involved in. But what I also would like to do is encourage, like I always do, If you're listening to us, let me say it this way. I want to hear from you, right? But I want to hear from you in a way that's not attempting to damage what we're trying to do. If you want to challenge us, please, by all means. But if you're just trying to goad us into an argument that you have no intention of attempting to actually participate in any meaningful way, just, you know, unplug your keyboard, man. It's not, there's no point. I want to, you and I are a sounding board for each other, but we're also a sounding board for the people that we represent doing this podcast. And I feel like we really need to work on creating that sounding board and making it louder and
yes,
more reciprocal and, you know, encouraging others to plug in. And I mean, gosh, dude, I know a lot of people don't understand what we're doing, but the importance of what we're doing is so real. Men in general are fastly being forgotten, fastly being told that we are second class citizens.
I think that's really a media standpoint and parts of the like outskirts of the country. The middle part of our country is very much not that way.
I don't think it is in a big way, but I do think there are parts of the middle of our country that are trying really hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like what we do is it's important because we're fighting back against it.
True.
Like we're railing against it and I will continue to rail against it.
On that subject though. So like I would say if anybody out there knows, a social media marketing company.
Yeah.
That they would recommend, let us know. Yeah. Or just marketing in general, really. Yeah. Cause I mean, we just don't know what we're doing.
We're not marketers.
No, I mean, you know. we barely know how to put a video up much less, you know, it's taken me like almost a year and a half to figure out lights and all this crap. And I still only got one camera and, you know, we're still away from where we want to go,
but we're getting there. Right.
I mean, yeah, because we like doing this.
Yeah. One step at a time.
We're not monetized. Yeah. I mean, we're not making any money on this.
No,
this is all on us. So I would say that, you know, having more interaction from you all who are listening would be cool. We always welcome that. If you're on the podcast and you want to reach out, I don't think you check your Brian at RNB Talks, but yeah. Reggie at rnbtalks.com, yeah. RANDB Talks.
TALKS.
Yeah. Or media at RANDBtalks.com. Yeah. And you can always send me an email there. I get it on my phone.
But I mean, just, you know, we're here to do what we're here to do. And that is, we definitely have a message and an agenda, but it's not a negative message and agenda. It's in a message and agenda that needs to be out there and we need to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll get a site up too. I think that's one thing in 2025. We'll actually get an actual website up. You know. But anyway, look, 2024 has been cool as far as like what we've done and what we've been able to accomplish. I really, you know, we don't have very many subscribers. We don't have like millions of views or anything, but we have enough to where it keeps me going.
Yeah, we have enough and we keep getting more views, which means more people are watching.
Well, I know, but I mean, we don't do the shorts. We don't do the other stuff like other people do in order to clips and everything, which we should do. But again, it's time, right? I mean, it's like we don't have like an editor or a producer. Yeah,
we don't have a sound man or anything like that.
It's me, you know, and I can only do so much, right?
And if you had me produce this, it would just be us from the chin down. And the mics will be muddled and nothing would work well.
Special thanks to Robbie Payne, Jack Music.
Roberto.
For all the help that he's given us and advice and everything else.
Looking forward to an episode with me and Reggie and Robbie at one point or another. I like Robbie, man. He's one of my favorite humans.
So, yeah, if you need sound stuff done, you can reach him at crackerjackmusic@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Crackerjack with a K.
I think it's really cool that Robbie has been doing the Winter Fantasia for my son's school for a long time. I see him every year there, man. He's up there. He's dedicated.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. He's one of the best guys there is. I mean, touring acts have him come out and do their stuff sometimes.
Yep.
And stuff. You know, it's crazy, man. He's really excelled at that stuff. But he's even a better bass player. But he's one of those guys that if he would have picked up and moved to like a Nashville or LA or something, he would have
been on the road.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. But yeah. Anyway, we're R&B Talks. Looking for a great 2025.
That's right. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
See you.